Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 21st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That is one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked in depth about this article researcher. Quote, we made a big mistake on COVID-19 vaccine drive. Joseph McCullough with the piece, Epoch Times, or Epoch Times if you prefer, with the details. And this incredible researcher doubles down. Said the assumption the vaccine developers had is, hey, the injection site is the shoulder. When you inject in the shoulder, we thought that the mRNA stuff would stay there. It's not true. It doesn't primarily remain in and around the vaccine injection site at all. So Pfizer's data now shows that the mRNA and subsequent spike protein are widely distributed throughout the body within hours. The spike protein is a toxin that creates all kinds of damage in the body. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it accumulates in women's ovaries, ladies and gentlemen. It breaches the blood-brain barrier, ladies and gentlemen. It does this within hours. It's a toxic reality causing cardiovascular and neurological damage. The mRNA, ladies and gentlemen, spike protein enters your bloodstream. It accumulates in a variety of organs, really in all your organs, really. Primarily your spleen, your bone marrow, your liver, your adrenal glands, and in women in their ovaries, ladies and gentlemen. The spike protein also travels to your heart, brain, and lungs, where all kinds of blood clots, etc., can occur as a result. And believe it or not, it's even expelled, they now admit, in breast milk. Everything we told you from the start years ago is true. Everything they said we were nuts, bat crazy on, turns out we were right, they were wrong. Once in your blood circulation, ladies and gentlemen, this spike protein binds to platelet receptors in the cells that line your blood vessels. You see what I mean? It coats everything in your body. Importantly, ladies and gentlemen, people who've been vaccinated against the COVID-19 absolutely should not donate blood, seeing how the vaccine and the spike protein are both transferred. In very specific situations, it can be lethal to anybody else receiving the blood. Okay, this is serious, folks. Breastfeeding women also need to know that, hey, you're not just transferring some things. Okay, you're not just transferring antibodies, you're transferring the vaccine itself along with the spike antibody, which is the bioweapon. The spike protein, folks, I'm going to say it again, is a bioweapon. Okay, we talked about that in detail in hour one. Okay, we talked to Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to preserve the nation. We talked to him in detail yesterday as well. And we talked to him about what media do you pay attention to? Do you support the honest media? And Sam went into why we use the broadcast facilities that we do and the news services that we do in great detail. That's a must-listen broadcast if you question why we do that. Hey, Sam, you're teaming up with the mainstream press. Why are you peddling their bogus news? Go listen to the first hour yesterday. You'll find out. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We then, why do we use some mainstream news at Liberty Roundtable Live? We talked about, do you intentionally seek out inspirational people in your life? Do you intentionally seek out uplifting people, places, and things in your life? It's about God, family, and country. Sadly, we as a nation, and many times even individually, we are turning our backs on God-given sacred gifts. Don't turn your back on them. Please open those sacred gifts. That was the conversation with Dr. Scott Bradley. Great conversation, indeed. And that was the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. All right, without further ado, Chris Carlson's in the house. He joins us every Saturday on your radio. Always has a lot to say, a lot to cover, in-depth reporting, to say the least. Welcome back, my dear friend.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Amen to that. Welcome, brother. And you have a book review to jump onto, right?
Yep. The full title of the book, Sam, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. And I don't like that word democracy, as you do not like it. So this is a book by Jeff Reynolds. Nonetheless, the content of the book is
yeah, before you go on, I'm fine with the word democracy if we use it properly. Okay, so I don't mind defining democracies as other places around the world where mob rules, other places around the world where the citizens just have their way and the masses decide everything. I don't mind explaining and highlighting and understanding that word. I kind of like the word communism or anything else. I don't hate that word. What I don't like that word used in is relation to the United States, because it's an absolute misinformation campaign. And that's kind of the problem here. Whenever we say we have a democracy, it's not true. We have a constitutional republic. And that is vastly different from a democracy. And our founding fathers even warned us about a pure democracy. And we use this modern day, and I believe many people use it ignorantly, possibly even this author, even the folks in the vote fraud, you know, that we're talking about in Mules 2000, they use the term, et cetera, et cetera. Look, these people are probably duped, but there are people who know the difference and who are using these words against us. Because if they can get us to believe we're a democracy, then they don't need to talk about all the checks and balances, the moral high ground, the dual sovereignties, the role of the people, the moral high ground that God set forth. Because, hey, the people rule. And it's very dangerous when you have a king. It's also very dangerous when the people rule. And the founders found an incredible, unique experiment, a balance between the two, a constitutional republic. Which uses a little bit of each of these different pieces of the pie to blend together a new type of government, a republic, if you can keep it. Anyway, I don't mean to spend forever on it, but I do believe it's worth highlighting and helping people understand the real differences. Because when you understand the differences, then you can spend your time learning, well, what makes that difference so unique? What are the components to the proper role of limited, moral, God-ordained constitutional government? And in that understanding lies the solutions. Anyway, I digress. Chris?
No, yeah, a very good distinction, and thank you. We need to be reminded, and some people need to be educated, not just reminded, because they do believe we have a democracy. And, you know, just a pure democracy, as you pointed out, Sam, is mob rule. And mob rule is not good, because sometimes the majority can vote for that which is not correct, not right, and doesn't protect minority rights. So anyway, yeah, so Jeff Reynolds wrote this book. It covers a lot of bases. I thought it was a little too general. I wanted to see a little more detail, but he does provide sufficient details to evince a pattern of tyranny on the part of 501c3 charitable organizations. And we'll talk a bit about the 501c4 and the 527 groups. But for the most part, they're tax-exempt 501c3 charitable organizations, and I took this quote from the book to kind of illustrate his point of view about these organizations. He says that these donors and foundations operate by a different set of rules. When you have a pliable morality, and I wouldn't even use the word morality in that sense, because this has nothing to do with morality. The ends justify the means, and you've heard that expression before. More than anything else, that's the lesson of this book. Whatever it takes to push the agenda forward, morality is, in this case, means achieving those policy goals no matter what, Jeff Reynolds. And that's what these organizations are all about. He doesn't really talk about the source of the income. He talks about some of the billionaires that provide that income to these tax-exempt organizations. But he really doesn't talk about the ultimate source of that. And, you know, we could or could not go into that. And, of course, that is the printing presses that are controlled by the Federal Reserve System, which can literally create money out of nothing. And that's the problem. That's one of the major problems, because they can outspend us 1,000 to 1 on any issue and make it look as if the public is in favor of an issue, when in fact it's just these tax-exempt organizations that are pushing the agenda on the part of the grassroots level.
And that's why I have a problem with Rand Paul or some of these other politicians, you know, Mike Lee or whatever. They always ask me for money, and they say, Sam, we're behind in this last quarter's campaign. You know, we're being outraised by our opponents, and we're going to get slaughtered. And look, you'll never win the money game with these people, Rand, or anybody else. You should understand that. And you know what? When Americans think, oh, my gosh, I got to get involved this election cycle, what they're doing is taking money away from their families and putting into, in my opinion, unwinnable reality. In other words, I could fund, you know, Rand Paul's campaign till the cows come home. I give him tons of money. He may win. And if he does, that's great, because I think he's one of the best ones there. But again, you know, at the end of the day, does that money really do better in his campaign than it does in my family wallet? You know, I don't think so. And so I really have a problem with this. You know, you deny the money, fiat money reality. Now, Rand Paul doesn't deny it. He admits it. He understands all of it. But then there's not a connect to that to say, look, we have got to educate the people and get the power of the people behind the solutions, not just hoping we can outraise our components when it comes to the finance game. I digress. When we come back, we'll talk about these donors, these foundations. Have you ever heard of the Billionaires Club? Let's start there in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Carlson in the house, and grateful that he is, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this incredible book review, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and their campaign to undermine, and then they use the word democracy, but undermine America. Let's just say that, okay? Jeff Reynolds is the author of the book, and he does an incredible job in the book, and he brings out important things that you should understand. There is a group of donors, and these foundations they put together operate under a different set of rules. They don't have any morals. They just say, get the job done. And they fill it with filthy lucre, fiat unconstitutional money. How do they do all that? Well, let's start you out by learning about, have you ever heard of the Billionaires Club, Chris?
Oh, I have. I don't suppose most Americans have, though, because in 2014, when a Senate report on environment and public works came out and talked about this Billionaires Club that we're introducing, I don't think the media covered that, Sam. Do you remember the media, the Foxes, the CNNs, the ABCs? Do you remember them talking about
there was a few great talk show hosts speaking about it. So we mention these things from time to time. A lot of times, since I don't bring up these things, since they're so vast every day, people think I don't know about them. But we bring them up when they kind of are relevant and when they happen, you know. And so we did talk about this. This is an important story. It is riveting to dig into the report and find out how the dots connect.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read word for word what this Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works came up with on this report about this billionaires club. An elite group, they refer to them as an elite group of left-wing millionaires and billionaires, which this report refers to as the billionaires club, who directs and controls the far-left environmental movement, which in turn controls major policy decisions and lobbies on behalf of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And I just mentioned, you know, we talk about the Environmental Protection Agency, which we would all agree is a left-wing organization, which is unconstitutional. I just mentioned in passing that that was implemented during the Richard Milhouse Nixon administration, who is supposed to have been a conservative. Anyway, I digress. Okay, the report goes on to say that this group is a dominant organization, they say that a dominant organization in this movement is Sea Change Foundation. Let's talk about who the Sea Change Foundation is, Sam. It's a private California foundation which relies on funding from a foreign company with undisclosed donors. Did you catch that? A foreign company?
I sure did. Repeat that one more time. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. You're talking about a foreign company, and we cannot trace the money.
No. No, and under the 501c3 status, legally, you don't have to disclose that information. And that's the disturbing thing about this. Okay. So the Sea Change, do you want me to repeat that? I said the Sea Change Foundation, a private California foundation which relies on funding from a foreign company with undisclosed donors. In turn, Sea Change funnels tens of millions of dollars to other large but discreet foundations and private environmental activists who strive to control both policy and politics. Wow. And that's a government report, Sam. I mean, that's not just some journalist exposing this fraud to the American people. That's the Senate reporting to us. We should take that seriously. So, and I go on to say the Sea Change Foundation is one of many tax-exempt foundations that operates in the United States who try to influence both policy and politics at the grassroots level as well as the governmental level. And let me explain. Saul Alinsky, in his book, Rules for Radicals, and we've talked about him, in his book, he talked about applying pressure from above and then pressure from below. So the pressure from below would be from maybe Antifa, Black Lives Matter, MoveOn.org, BAM, by any means necessary. These are all 501c3 organizations. And then maybe pressure from above would be at the governmental level, which is, like we just mentioned, the Sea Change Foundation, Sustainable Markets Foundation, Union of Concerned Scientists, some of these groups that influence government. So now you have pressure from below. It looks like the grassroots people level, who a lot of these thugs who operate in Antifa and Black Lives Matter, as you know, Sam, were being paid and are being paid, and in some cases being paid by taxpayer dollars. That's the pressure from below, and it creates this perception at the higher echelons of government, there's this great concern about the environment. And from the lower echelons, the grassroots level, it appears that the people are in support of these policies, creating an illusion or a delusion that there's this great concern about global warming and the environment and the depletion of the ozone layer and all these things. And normal people like you and me, Sam, think, wow, we better get on board too, right? And that's the essence of these tax-exempt foundations, to try to create a sea change, if you'll excuse the expression, in society to support policies that destroy our constitutional rights and merge us into a globalist communist system that they're trying to do. And I'm not going to go willingly. I'm not going to go without a fight. There are all the, and if I mention all the organizations that were in this book, the Pew Charitable Trust, the Ford Foundation, the Koch Foundation, some of these are actually so-called conservative foundations, but they're really run by the same people who run the more liberal foundations. World Resource Institute, Hewlett Foundation, Rockefeller Brothers. I don't want to go through the whole list. It would take the whole show. But it begs the question, Sam, where does all the money come from for all these organizations? Where are they getting all the money? I tell you what, if you know, you struggle, and I know because you talk about it on the air on a regular basis, you struggle to find enough money to just keep things going on a shoestring basis, Sam. Where do these organizations get all this money? Well, let's talk about the Billionaires Club. So you may have heard of some of these donors in this Billionaires Club that they referred to in the Senate document, such as Tom Steyer, Warren Buffett. We've all heard of Warren, and of course we've heard of George Soros. But according to this book by Jeff Reynolds, Sam, George Soros is only number 12 on this list of donors to these charitable organizations. Did you know that?
I did not until I read the information you brought forward. What I find interesting about that is most people believe he's kind of the single guy to get it all done, right?
No.
That's the way it sounds.
No.
It's not true, but that's really the way it sounds, huh?
Yeah. No, there's a whole host of people, and a lot of them, these are billionaires in most cases. And let's just kind of go into it. And I just want to introduce a few names. I don't want to go too deep into this. You've got Herb Sandler. Well, the reason we haven't heard of these people is because their names do not need to be disclosed as donors of these organizations. And they probably don't want to be high-profile figures in the media. They probably want to maintain a low profile because it makes a lot of people angry, like you and me. Okay?
Yeah, so why should they put their names out there if they're getting their job done? The secrecy is kind of Satan's tool to help advance their agenda. And so they don't mind a George Soros taking the hit for all of them. When he's 12th on the list, it's like he's just a small fry. His influence doesn't matter. Even if they expose him, it won't touch the rest of us. This is all by design because, again, evil prospers in secrecy, Chris.
Yeah. Well, and then the Sackler family is a little bit high profile because they were being sued because of their involvement with Purdue Pharmaceuticals, who were driving the opioid epidemic, you know, with the OxyContin. So they're a little bit more high profile, but you've probably never heard of Drummond Pike or John Arnold, have you?
I have. Most have not.
Yeah, you have because you dive a little deeper. But let me say something about it. All of these individuals have signed the Giving Pledge. In quotes, the Giving Pledge. And have you heard about the Giving Pledge?
Yes, I have.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Okay. So the giving Pledge is an effort by Warren Buffett and Bill Gates
just back you up for a second. The Giving Pledge sounds awesome. You know, here's what happens. These rich guys are on a quest in life to get wealthy. They achieve their goal. Then they turn towards, quote, philanthropy. And they basically, this Giving Pledge sounds awesome. It's like, hey, now that I've made it myself, I'm going to turn beyond myself and look out for my fellow man. It sounds awesome. And if it were genuinely true, that would be wonderful. But under this guise of caring for their fellow man, then they get involved in the Giving Pledge, and they say they're going to give a bunch of their money, half, 50%, whatever, to philanthropic causes. So to help the people. The problem is with the Giving Pledge, what they actually commit to and what restrictions relate to the money. We'll talk about that with Chris when we come back, because it's not just the great idea to share with your fellow man and give back and bless lives. There's unique details to how the money is spent that runs it off the rails. We'll talk about it in seconds. The Billionaires Club and the Giving Pledge in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
there seems to be no end in sight to the rising gas prices. A new AAA survey showing the national average for a gallon of regular is up to $4.59 a gallon. The least expensive place to fill up is Oklahoma, where the statewide average is $4.03 a gallon. This driver telling ABC 15 News in Phoenix, Arizona, enough is enough.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And it just keeps going up.
A judge is keeping Title 42 in place for the time being. The Louisiana judge keeping his injunction in place for the policy that has been used nearly 2 million times to keep illegal immigrants from seeking asylum in the United States due to COVID restrictions. Wall Street ending the week nearly unchanged as the Dow gained 8 points. This is USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
President Biden spent part of his Friday in South Korea, the first leg of his Asian tour that aims to build economic ties and counter Chinese influence.
So much of the future of the world is going to be written here in the Indo-Pacific over the next several decades. We're standing at an inflection point in history where the decisions we make today will have far-reaching impacts on the world we leave to our children tomorrow.
President Biden also meeting with the president of South Korea. The CDC is keeping their eye on another virus.
A monkeypox outbreak in several European countries and one United States state may become the largest outbreak of the virus outside of Africa, but it's not likely to cause a global pandemic like COVID. It's related to smallpox. Monkeypox has two main types: the West African, which has a fatality rate of about 1%, and the Congo Basin, with a fatality rate of around 10%. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
This is USA Radio News.
Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman on your radio. We're talking about the Billionaires Club. Do you know about it? You need to. Are you familiar with the Giving Pledge? It puts restrictions on big money that flows through secret organizations, ladies and gentlemen. Tell us about the Giving Pledge in detail, Chris.
Okay, so the Giving Pledge was founded by Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. And if you're in this Giving Pledge commitment, I guess it's like an oath you take, you agree to give half of your wealth away during the course of your lifetime. And, I mean, these guys, I don't think that they earn their money in the first place. So for them, you know, and we don't know, you know, if they're just brilliant investors like George Soros was supposed to have invested in, you know, made these 30 billions of dollars that he's redistributed in his lifetime. I don't think for a minute, Sam, that somebody's that brilliant that they can make investments to with a return of 30 billion. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding, they commit to give half of their wealth away during the course of their lifetime. And then I add to that, the only stipulation, as far as I can tell, is that these causes have to promote globalism and subvert traditional American values. And almost all of these organizations do so. And the ones that don't, like the Heritage Foundation, you know, or the Koch Brothers Foundation, they still promote globalism. So, and they're supposed to be conservative organizations, right? Yeah, and then Jeff Reynolds, I'll just read a quote from Jeff Reynolds from his book. He says that their goals are to discredit conservatives throughout American life and sow the seeds of division. And that they are doing, especially Black Lives Matters, MoveOn.org, Antifa, BAM. Have you ever heard of BAM? BAM's an interesting – the name itself is telling, by any means necessary. You know, and that to me sounds like a terrorist organization, you know, just like Black Lives Matter. I mean, you know, by any means, whatever we have to do to get the job done, get it done. If we need to use bombs like Bill Ayers did in the 1960s and 70s, well, by any means necessary, right? Anyway,
whatever it takes, baby, the ends justify the means. We got to do this because they believe they're lords over society and they're protecting you from yourself and they're protecting the planet from people like you. That are extreme belligerent capitalists, you're selfish, they consider themselves ambivalent, you see. It's this complete understanding that they have that changes, words that you and I use that we think make sense. Hey, the Giving Pledge sounds nice. Who wouldn't give half their money, half their wealth to charitable organizations? If you're really wealthy and you don't have to, you know, work anymore to make a living or whatever. You know, it sounds so great. The problem is when you learn about the Billionaires Club and the names behind it, and then when you learned about the Giving Pledge, you kind of start to realize that, hey, there's strings attached to that money to where they really have to promote the destruction of America. And they have to use these guidelines in their money to sow division, Chris.
Yep. And they do a great job of it. And they've got endless resources. And they're, like you said, Sam, there's nothing we can do really monetarily to counter that because they're outspending us in some cases. 1,000 to 1. It's probably closer to 100 to 1. I don't know.
Oh, it's 1,000,000 to 1, my friend. Level. You have no idea.
Okay. I was off, but just in the wrong direction.
That's right. I'm just saying that the amount of money, when you really learn about it, is beyond comprehension, Chris.
Yeah. It's endless. I mean, when you have control of the printing presses, which these people do, they're tied in with the Federal Reserve System, the World Bank. I mean, that's where they get their money ultimately. Of course, you know, they claim that they're just great hedge fund managers and they're great investors in businesses. Well, that probably has something to do with it. But if they're trading, they're probably doing a whole lot of insider trading as well, which, you know, basically is fraudulent money just as well.
Yeah, but to them, again, that's just business as usual because, again, by any means necessary, the ends justifies the means. It's not really a problem.
Yeah.
In fact, it's ambivalent. Yeah, they're going to do good with all that money, don't you know? See, that's kind of the agenda right. They come from. Now, knowing a lot of these people is really important because it kind of helps you understand. Let's talk about David Brock a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, so David Brock is a lifelong Democrat operative. He's also the founder of Democracy Alliance. And interestingly
now
enough—
Now, stop. I want to bring this up. Okay. We started out by telling you this democracy is a problem. And again, he's a founder of Democracy Alliance. These are the ones that are teaching the American people that democracy is good and fine and necessary and moral and right and ambivalent. Okay, that's why they perpetuate the lie, because they know democracy at its very core devolves into anarchy, which eventually, you know, foments tyranny. They know that. They love that. That's their agenda, Chris.
Yep, that is their agenda. And great leaders, they delegate authority. And in the case of these leaders of these 501c3 organizations, they delegate authority to unknowing, brainwashed, in some cases, in most cases, I would say younger people, in the case of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and BAM, by any means necessary. They recruit these millions of disgruntled youth, you know, who have this bleak outlook of their future, and they blame conservatives like you and me, Sam, for that bleak outlook. And they use these 501c3 organizations to do so. And Democracy Alliance is a case in point. So it's an umbrella group for many other subversive organizations. It was formed the week, interestingly enough, the week of Donald Trump's inauguration. And there's no coincidence about that, by the way. In a tweet to potential participants of the founding meeting, David Brock wrote, quote, "What better way to spend inaugural weekend than talking about how to kick Donald Trump's butt?" I mean, they didn't use the word butt. They used a word that I can't use on the radio. And some of the bylaws are very telling about this 501c3 charitable organization called Democracy Alliance, Sam. And let me read word for word what these bylaws are in this founding meeting. You need to respect the privacy of others and not share partners' names or details of the conference with the press. That's one. Another one is contact Elizabeth Bartolomeo, who is the founding director of the organization, organization if you are contacted by the media or a blogger about the conference. And number three, you need to refrain from leaving sensitive materials out where others may find them. Why the secrecy, Sam? Why, if I had just
because
attended
if the people,
a meeting...
Hold on, because if the people understood the amount of money and who was involved and what their real agenda goals were, the people would rise up and shut them down. See, 90% of the reason that the people aren't engaged in America is because you cannot be ignorant and free. And they know that. I'm sorry, you can't... you cannot be ignorant and free. They know that they got to disconnect the real truth, the education, what's really happening from the agenda. Because if they don't and the American people get wind of it, we will push back. And I'll give you the proof. We gave them the benefit of the doubt on COVID for 2 years. Shame on us. We were very kind and very ignorant, slow to wake up. But you know what? People are pushing back now. You know, pilots are going, wait a minute, my buddy just died because he took a vaccine and now he can't even fly a plane. He either died or he's sick. And so everywhere, people are pushing back to the point where they had to back off. They knew before the elections, if they didn't back off, it'd be curtains at the next election. So they said, well, you don't got to wear masks now. You don't got to do this now. They're secretly now pushing for these vaccine, passports and all these kind of things. But they know that if they push too hard, so they're still afraid of us. And they know if we really connect the dots, they're in trouble. And so they cannot let us connect the dots. That's why the media helps them. And that's why one of the big arms of David Brock, which we'll get into in a second, has to do directly with manipulating the media.
Yeah, and they know we have short memories. So they can abuse us, you know, for years. And then, oh, it's election year, you know, just back off a little. And they can rely on the fact that we will forget the abuse that we sustained from them for the last 3 years. Isn't that interesting, Sam? It's so frustrating because I have a horrible memory, Sam, but I remember the abuses that government has thrust upon me from the time that I woke up politically, which was about 22 years ago. But most people don't. They say, well, they won't do that again. You know, that was a mistake. Nobody's perfect. That's my favorite one. Nobody's perfect. Even Donald Trump uses, well, they use that about him.
Yeah, and anyway, then they said, I'm just following orders. And now what they say is, I'm just following guidelines, Chris. It's not even, I don't even need to do orders. That's too hard sounding. I'm just following guidelines, Chris.
Yeah, it's law. We got to follow the law, right? No, you don't have to follow
the guidelines.
The law.
No, we don't got to talk about law. It's not really a law. It's just a guideline, Chris.
Guidelines. Yeah,
they can't say law because then we can prove them wrong and sue them for disinformation and sue them because there's no law in the book or say, show me the law. But see, if you say guidelines, it could be anything, buddy.
And they always forget that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It overrides all other laws. Except for guidelines, yeah.
David Brock, secret operative. And David Brock also started an umbrella organization, a 501c3 nonprofit called Media Matters for America. And Media Matters is a organization that really manipulates the media. What they do is they create dossiers on conservatives like me, and they tell you all the bullet points of who I am. Never mind they never talk to me. Never mind they don't prove their facts. Never mind they don't have to validate what they say and commit slander and libel and everything else. And, hey, it's no problem. You know, they tell you that I'm a racist, that I'm a right-wing extremist, that I'm partnering with militias, and they go on and on. And this Media Matters group has attacked me personally many times by name in their articles over the years. We'll come back and talk about some more case in points with Chris in seconds on your radio.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules, a shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah, a message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking about the book review, ladies and gentlemen. Behind the curtain, inside the network of progressive billionaires in their campaign to undermine democracy, Jeff Reynolds. We talk about these billionaires club. We talk about the giving pledge that guides the money. We've talked about the secret organizations they put together and how the money flows through these nonprofits. David Brock is one of them. He's the founder of Democracy Alliance. He's involved in all these 501c3 umbrella organizations where it's very hard to trace the money, but they're into subversive politics in secret, virtually. And Media Matters for America is one of them that has attacked me relentlessly over the years. And they lie about who I am, and they're dishonest. It's libel and slander. The problem is, who do you hold responsible? How do you sue them and win? What they say is, well, Sam, you know, you're on one hand, what they want to say is if I sue them for libel and slander, they say, no, Sam, you're a famous celebrity. So therefore, the rules are different and you can't sue me. I can say anything I want about you. And then in their articles, they say, Sam, you're a nobody racist. You're a domestic threat terrorist tied to, you know, subversive anti-government organizations such as militias. And they go on and on and on. None of it's true. So on one hand, I'm this famous celebrity that, hey, they can do whatever they want. On the other hand, then they could slander me and call me and manipulate that I'm a nobody. How do you deal with this stuff? Well, even Donald Trump said we got to deal with this, but he, of course, never did, Chris.
Did you invite David Brock to come on your show and discuss?
Oh, yeah, I've invited all their people. They won't do it, not in a million years, because they know the truth will come out if they do that.
I don't blame them.
I'll eat those suckers alive with the truth. But anyway, it's serious business, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand this happens in a bunch of ways, though. It's not only American globalists that are doing it. Chinese globalists are at the helm as well, Chris. But let's talk some case in points and then the Chinese issue real quick.
Okay, so David Brock is also the founder of another 501c3 umbrella organization called Media Matters, which you just referred to. You know, they attacked you in the past, which tells you exactly what they're all about. So under this organization, Brock has seven 501c3s, so it's an umbrella organization. He has some super PACs, and he has an LLC. So what they do, so in order to illustrate this point, how dishonest these people are, let me make the distinction between a 501c3, a 501c4, and a 527 organization, Sam. So tax-exempt 501c3 organizations have two advantages. You don't have to disclose your donors, and you can, you don't have to disclose your donors, and it allows them to do two things, and they are tax exempt. Yes, that's the other one. Okay, there's only one catch. No more than 20% of your activity can be lobbying, candidate promotion, or political advocacy. But in a 501c4, you can have up to 50% of your activity be lobbying, candidate promotion, or political advocacy, which I don't know how they measure that. It just seems weird, you know, that they would have that arbitrary distinction. Anyway, he has all these organizations under this umbrella organization, yet he mixes the expenses around to the point where pretty much all of these organizations can violate those rules, and you can say, oh, no, that's not this organization violating this rule. That is the 501c3 organization that is is talking about a political candidate and promoting him. Anyway, let me just read from the book. It says, remember, the super PAC must disclose the identities of its donor, but the foundation can withhold the identities of its donors. If Brock has created a scheme to shield the identity of donors to the super PAC by transferring the donations directly from the foundation, it would constitute an FEC violation by the foundation. And that's exactly what they do by mixing up these organizations. So if one runs amok of one FEC violation, they can say, oh, no, well, technically that violation was committed by this 501c3 organization, which can violate it in a sense. Anyway, that didn't really come out very well. But suffice it to say, Sam,
yeah, all you need to know is these people secretly move the money. Violating laws and skirting campaign and all kinds of other SEC laws and everything else, the Securities and Exchange Commission laws, they skirt these laws and they're running very, very close to the edge. But yet, hey, because the money is secretly transferred from one place to the next along these organizations, you really can't hold anybody liable, because at whatever point the money's spent, the rules are different and they use the rules to their advantage. Example in point, Media Matters. A media organization can say anything about a celebrity, Sam Bushman, they want to. I'm a famous celebrity, you see, so they can say whatever they want. But yet then they attack me as if I'm some militia, whatever, spinning untruths that are literally libel and slander. But they know that at the media level, so they got to put money into the media to say that. Then later when it comes to an election, they can do this and put money into elections more so than the average Joe can. All the election laws are circumvented because they filter the money here and filter the money there. And you know what? You got to follow the money trail and build this matrix to show it to the American people in a graph so they can understand it. But that's what's happening, Chris.
Yeah, that's what's happening. And there's dishonest as all get out by any means necessary, like we talked about. And they skirt the laws. The courts are corrupt, so you know nobody's going to be able to sue them in a court of law because they've long since controlled the courts. And you know, like we said, they outspend us a million to one. There's no way that we can contend to them at their level. And we'll just have to do what we can at our local levels to try to maintain a semblance of sanity and prosperity in whatever ways we can. Now, you wanted to go into the Chinese influence, and I've got a little story to tell, but as a precursor, let's introduce another 501c3 charitable organization called Chinese Student and Scholarship Association. Now, maybe this is one you haven't heard of, Sam, have you?
Before, I have not, today? No. Nope.
More than,
again,
so
there's
more
too
than
many of these things to keep up with them all, ladies and gentlemen, unless you specifically focus on a given few. And I'll tell you why. They crank them up and get rid of them, too. If they know one's about to get investigated, it just goes away. If they know one's needed to create a new entity, that's why, hey, in 2014 or 2016 or this or that or whatever, they just crank up another one. They don't care. These things come and go. They're shady. They're crazy. And they filter money through it. And, hey, it starts to take a little heat. You shut it down. Create a different one.
Yep. So there are 330,000 Chinese students attending college in the United States. And this book was written in 2018. So that number has probably changed to maybe 350,000 Chinese students. The Chinese government funds and coordinates activities for dozens of branches of what is referred to as the Chinese Student and Scholarship Association, CSSA, in America, which to me is, if not a security risk, it is at least a conflict of our American interests. Okay, so the Chinese Communist Party pays these students to attend certain activities. For example, when Xi Jinping, the dictator of China, visits America. So in a recent event, and this is not so recent today because it was in 2011, illustrates this program. When the then president Hu Jintao, remember Hu Jintao was president a few years back, he visited Chicago in 2011. And this, by the way, is an article from Foreign Policy magazine that is quoted by Jeff in the book. The University of Wisconsin-Madison, which is a very liberal campus, I've been there, the CSSA bussed in students to excited about a free trip to the city and a chance to glimpse the president. The association also surprised the students at the conclusion of the trip with a small cash payment. The CSSA president told students not to speak to the media about the money, according to one student who attended. Okay, now why would they say not to talk about the money? And obviously, this creates the perception in the media, and I'm sure the media covered it extensively, that the Chinese people are in fact in support of their leadership in China, even here in America, you know, where you would think that they would, you know, want to adopt our culture and embrace our culture, but they don't. And here's why. And I'm going to give you an illustration of an encounter that I had that illustrates this point. So I was on BYU campus, Brigham Young University campus. This is about 2 years ago. And I was engaged in a conversation with one of these students. Now, I don't know if he was a member of the Chinese Student and Scholarship Association, Sam, but I do know this. You know, I'm always inquisitive about how people feel about the governments, you know, where they've the countries where they've come from. And as soon as I engaged him in that conversation, he told me this, and I'm not making this up. He said, "I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. I'm being monitored." Isn't
there you
that
have
interesting?
It. That's the way it is. But look, you can't talk about the money and you can't talk about the Chinese because they want to be perceived positive in the world. They're communists and they're simply saying, hey, if you're on our errand, we'll keep you quiet. Keep you, because you know what? If Americans find out how much the Chinese influence the university world and the government, how infiltrated we've become with communists, then they'll melt down. Speaking of the communists, there's two contrasting statements we got to get to before the end of the hour. Chris, two people made important statements that we need to be aware of, right?
Okay.
First one's Whitaker Chambers. Second one's Ezra Taft Benson.
Okay. So Whitaker Chambers once said that in the United States, the working class are Democrats, the middle class are Republicans, but the upper class are communists, interestingly enough. Why is this? Because communism never was a system whereby wealth would be evenly distributed among the populace, as we are led to believe. No, communism is a system whereby wealth is consolidated under the control of those who claim to have our best interests at heart, Sam, while depriving it to those who have actually earned it. Every one of these nonprofit organizations that we have been talking about here promote communism because they know that involuntary slavery was abolished in the 14th Amendment. However, Sam, the 14th Amendment did not abolish voluntary slavery. We are now being led into voluntary slavery. And it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot easier to enslave an entire population or an entire country through voluntary slavery. If they can brainwash us into believing that what's good is bad, what is evil is good, and what slavery is actually freedom. Now, Ezra Taft Benson warned us about creeping socialism. He said this, and Ezra Taft Benson, by the way, was the former Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration in the 1950s. He's also a leader of the LDS Church. He's deceased, but he was a leader of the LDS Church in the 80s and 90s. He said this about creeping socialism. He said, "We have consistently warned our people against the insidious nature of communism, which debases the individual, robs him of his agency, and makes him an enslaved tool of the state to which he must look for sustenance and religion." And it's interesting that he used the word religion because a lot of people worship government, as you know, Sam. And I'm not just talking about liberal Democrats. I'm talking about conservative Republicans as well. And we saw that during the Trump administration. They practically worshiped the guy.
Tragic but true, ladies and gentlemen. Understand where we are. We the people must turn back to God Almighty, and it needs to be about God, family, and country. We'll never beat them in the money war. We'll never beat them in the secrecy war. We'll never beat them with people on the ground. The ground war, because, hey, they can pay everybody, including the Chinese communists, to keep quiet and to peddle the agenda. And so the only way we can compete is on the moral high ground, on the principles that make America great, using the checks and balances, and standing with God in the culture war, ladies and gentlemen. That is the answer. Chris, final words yours.
Sam, without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere.